بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. توقفنا عند قول المصنف رحمه الله تعالى: وكمل الله به الدين والدليل قوله تعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. نعم.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Now, so the Shaykh, he continued by where the author left off and saying, or where the author said, Allah perfected and completed His religion through Him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the proof of this is the statement of Allah: This day I have completed your religion for you and perfected my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as your religion.
المعنى أن هذا الدين كامل فلا نقص فيه. ومن معاني أن الدين كامل أن المسلمين يعملون بما جاء فيه ولا يزيدون عليه. فالله عز وجل قال: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. فمن أتى ببدعة وأتى بعمل لم يأتي به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كأنه يقول الدين ناقص وبحاجة إلى هذه الزيادة، وكفى بهذا دليل على بطلان هذا القول.
So the Shaykh, he explained the ayah that today I have, or this day I have completed your religion, and he says by completing it means that this deen is perfect, it is not in need of anything extra, it is not in any way deficient. So from this meaning is that the Muslims must act upon this deen as it was revealed. They must not add anything to it or change anything from it. And whoever does that, whoever changes or increases anything in this religion or adds anything to this religion, then it is as if he is saying that this religion is incomplete. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the Shaykh said that anyone doing such a thing, it is sufficient as a refutation against him to show that this is false.
ثم قال: والدليل على موته، لأنه ذكر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد توفي، فقال: والدليل على موته صلى الله عليه وسلم قوله تعالى: إنك ميت. هذا خطاب للنبي، وإنهم ميتون أي جميع الناس. ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون، أي أن الدنيا دار ابتلاء وامتحان، والآخرة دار الجزاء والحساب.
And the author continues by saying the proof that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. The Shaykh commented on this. This is because he mentioned previously that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived and then he died. So he said the proof of this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal: You will surely die, and they too will surely die. Then on the day of recompense, you will be disputing in front of your Lord. So the Shaykh, he said that this is addressed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you will die and that they too will die, meaning the rest of the people, everyone will die.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: والناس إذا ماتوا يبعثون، يعني لا يصبحون ترابا وتنتهي الأمور، لا، الناس يموتون ويصبحون ترابا، ثم إذا نفخ إسرافيل في الصور بعثوا وخرجوا من قبورهم فيبعثون فيجازون على أعمالهم. قال: والدليل قوله تعالى: منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. وقوله تعالى: والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا. فهاتان الآيتان فيها دليل على أن الناس يبعثون بعد الموت. قال الشيخ: وبعد البعث محاسبون ومجزيون بأعمالهم.
نعم. So the author, he continued by saying, when people die, they will be resurrected. So the Shaykh, he said that yes, when we die, that is not the end of our life. We do not simply die and then become dirt or the likes, but rather after we die, we are to be resurrected, and then we are to be held accountable for what we did and recompensed for what we did. And the proof is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. From it, meaning from the earth, from it we created you, and to it we shall return you, and from it we shall bring you out once again. And also, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah has brought you forth from the earth, afterwards He will return you into it, and then bring you forth once again. So the Shaykh, the author, he continued, after being resurrected, they will be judged, you know, people will be judged and recompensed for their actions. Now.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والدليل قوله تعالى ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ليجزي الذين أساءوا بما عملوا ويجزي الذين أحسنوا بالحسنى ومن كذب بالبعث يعني بعد الموت كفر. والدليل قوله تعالى زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن ثم لتنبؤن بما عملتم وذلك على الله يسير. الإيمان بالبعث بعد الموت والجزاء والحساب له فائدة عظيمة، أن الواحد منا يحاسب نفسه ويراقب ربه ولا يظلم الناس ويؤدي الواجبات ويبتعد عن المحرمات. ولذلك كثيرا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يؤذي جاره، من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. فكان يعني يذكر الإيمان بالله واليوم الآخر، لأن الإيمان بالله واليوم الآخر رادع لصاحبه عن الظلم وعن الأذية وعن المعاصي.
نعم. And then the Sheikh, the author, he continues by saying the proof for resurrection and judgment and recompense is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth, that He may recompense those who do evil with such that they have done, and reward those who do good with what is best. And whoever rejects the resurrection, the author continues, whoever rejects the resurrection has disbelieved. And this is due to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. The disbelievers claim that they will never be resurrected. Say, O Muhammad, yes, by my Lord, you will certainly be resurrected. Then you will be informed of what deeds you did, and that is easy for Allah. And the Shaykh, he commented on these affairs of the Day of Judgment after death by saying that the belief in resurrection after dying and being held accountable has a very great benefit. The benefit of it is that a person is able to hold himself accountable in this life. A person is able to hold himself accountable in this life, and that he remembers Allah. He's always consistently remembering Allah and being mindful of Allah, and that with it he stays away from sins and he stays away from evil action and the likes. And the Shaykh, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he often mentioned the belief in Allah as well as the belief in the Day of Judgment or the final day. So he would say, for example, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him not harm his neighbor. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then such and such. Many different occasions. Now.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله وأرسل الله جميع الرسل مبشرين أي لأهل الطاعة وأهل الإيمان يبشرونهم بالجنة وما أعد الله لهم من نعيم، يبشرونهم برضا الله عز وجل، ومنذرين من الشرك والذنوب والمعاصي. قال والدليل قوله تعالى رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل أي بعد إرسالهم.
Now, and then the author continues by saying Allah sent all of the messengers giving glad tidings and warning. So the Shaykh, he said, giving glad tidings of Tawheed, giving glad tidings of good deeds and what will come for that, and warning against shirk, warning against disbelief and evil actions and the likes of this. And the proof is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, messengers bearing good news and warning in order that mankind may have no plea against Allah after the coming of the messengers.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وأولهم أي أول الرسل نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام، وآخرهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما ذكر ما يحصل يوم القيامة قال: فيذهبون إلى نوح أول الرسل، قال: وآخرهم محمد لا نبي بعده صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو خاتم النبيين. والدليل على أن أولهم نوح قوله تعالى: إنا أوحينا إليك كما أوحينا إلى نوح والنبيين من بعده. نعم.
So the author, he continues by saying that the first of them, meaning the first of these messengers and prophets who were sent, was Nuh alayhi salam. The first of the messengers was Nuh alayhi salam. And the last of them was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Shaykh, he mentioned the hadith in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam described on the Day of Judgment that the people will go looking for someone to begin the intercession, and they will mention about Nuh that he is the first messenger. And he mentioned about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he is the seed of the prophets, meaning he is the final prophet, that there is no prophet after him. And the proof that Nuh alayhi salam, as the author continues, that the proof that Nuh alayhi salam is the first of the messengers is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal: verily we sent the revelation to you, O Muhammad, just as we sent the revelation to Nuh and the prophets after him. Now.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: وكل أمة بعث الله إليها رسولا من نوح إلى محمد يأمرهم بعبادة الله وحده وينهاهم عن عبادة الطاغوت. والدليل قوله تعالى: ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. وافترض الله على جميع العباد الكفر بالطاغوت والإيمان بالله، يعني أن دعوة الأنبياء جميعا كانت متفقة في الأمر بتوحيد الله وفي النهي عن الشرك بالله، وهذا يدل على أهمية التوحيد وعلى خطورة الشرك. نعم.
So the author continues by saying that every nation that Allah Azza wa Jal sent a messenger to, from Nuh to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would command them to worship Allah alone and would forbid them from worshipping the Taghut. And the proof is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal: and we have indeed sent a messenger to every nation, saying, worship Allah alone and avoid false deities, Taghut. And Allah, the author continues, Allah obligated upon His servants to disbelieve in the Taghut, the false deities, and believe in Allah alone. So the Shaykh, he commented on this by saying that every prophet ever sent, they called to the same thing. They all agreed in the message about worshipping Allah alone and avoiding worshipping any false deities, any taghut. He said, and in this is an indication of the importance of tawheed, because they all agreed upon it. Now.
قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى قال الشيخ قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى: معنى الطاغوت ما تجاوز به العبد حده من معبود أو متبوع أو مطاع. قال: والطواغيت كثيرون، ورؤوسهم خمسة: إبليس لعنه الله، ومن عبد وهو راض، ومن دعا الناس إلى عبادة نفسه، ومن ادعى شيئا من علم الغيب، ومن حكم بغير ما أنزل الله. والدليل قوله تعالى: لا إكراه في الدين، قد تبين الرشد من الغي، فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها، والله سميع عليم.
And the author continues by quoting a statement of Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله, in which he said that the meaning of طاغوت is someone or something for whose sake a worshipper transgresses the limits, such as those who worshipped, followed, or obeyed. And then the author, he continues by saying, the tawagit, the plural of taghut, are many, but the heads of them are five. And the main tawagit are five. The first is Iblis, may Allah curse him. The second is whoever is worshipped while being pleased with that, then he's pleased with other people worshipping him. And the third is whoever calls the people to worship himself. And the fourth is whoever claims to have knowledge of the unseen, the ghaib. And the fifth is whoever rules by other than what Allah has revealed. And the proof for this statement is the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no compulsion in religion. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. And whoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, then he has taken hold of the firmest handhold, and he will never break the firmest handhold that will never break. And Allah is the All-Hearer, the All-Knower.
الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى يبين نقلا عن ابن القيم معنى الطاغوت. والطاغوت قال لك ما تجاوز به العبد حده من معبود، يعني إذا عبد من دون الله، أو متبوع من العلماء إذا تبعه في تحليل الحرام أو تحريم الحلال، أو مطاع من العلماء قالوا أو الأمراء. والطغيان الطاغوت قالوا من الطغيان، والطغيان مجاوزة الحد، يقال طغى الماء إذا تجاوز حده. نعم.
نعم. So the sheikh he explained a little bit about what the author intended here by quoting Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn al-Qayyim, of course, as we mentioned before, he explained the meaning of طاغوت, someone or something for whose sake a worshipper transgresses the limits. Meaning the one who is worshipping transgresses the limits in regards to this person, or such as those who are worshipped, they are tawagheet, those who are worshipped besides Allah. Those who are followed, he said, such as the ulama of evil, the bad ulama, or those who are obeyed, such as the evil rulers or the rulers who order with disobedience and the likes. And he said that the word taghut comes from the Arabic word tughyan, which means to transgress, to go beyond bounds, and in it is the meaning وَطَغَى الْمَاء, that the water went beyond. نعم.
ثم قال الشيخ أن الطواغيت كثيرون، يعني لا يحصر في عدد معين، هم كثيرون، لكن رؤوسهم التي ترجع إليها أو يرجع إليها هؤلاء الكثير خمسة. أولا قال إبليس لعنه الله، فإبليس طاغوت وأضل الناس ممن تبعه على ما هو عليه، وجعلهم يحلون الحرام ويحرمون الحلال. قال ومن عبد وهو راض، أي اتخذه الناس إلها يعتقدون فيه أنه ينفع ويضر وهو راض، فهو طاغوت ولو لم يأمرهم بعبادته. قال ومن دعا الناس إلى عبادة نفسه، الأول الذي سبق لم يدع الناس إلى عبادة نفسه، ولكن يرى الناس يعبدونه وهو راض. ولذلك عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام لما يقول الله عز وجل له يوم القيامة أأنت قلت للناس اتخذوني وأمي إلهين من دون الله، هل أنت أمرتهم بهذا؟ فيقول عيسى سبحانك ما قلت لهم إلا ما أمرتني به أن اعبدوا الله، فأمرهم بعبادة الله عز وجل. نعم.
Now and then the Sheikh he commented on the statement of the author that the tawaghit, the taghuts, there are many, but the heads of them are five. So he said that the tawaghit are plenty in number, but there are five main tawaghit that the others return to, or they have something related to. They all go back to these five. The first of them being Iblis, may Allah curse him, the one who misguided many people, and he caused them to disbelieve, he caused them to change what is halal into haram, and what is haram into halal, and the likes. And secondly is the one who is worshipped, and he is pleased with that. Whoever is worshipped, and he is pleased with that. And the third is the one who calls people to worship himself. So the difference is that the second one, he does not actively call the people to worship him. He does not command the people to worship him. But when they worship him, he is pleased. He does not stop them, and he is pleased with that. And the third one is the one who actively calls the people to worshiping him. And the Shaykh, he cited the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal will ask Isa alayhi salam, Yawm al-Qiyamah, did you command the people or did you order the people to take you and your mother as gods, two gods besides me? And Isa alayhi salam will respond by saying, Subhanak, that is not for him. Naam.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ومن ادعى شيئا من علم الغيب. الغيب لا يعلمه إلا الله. فالكهان والسحرة والمشعوذين ونحوهم ممن يدعي علم الغيب لا شك أن هؤلاء طواغيت، لأن ادعاء علم الغيب كفر، ولا شك أن هؤلاء تجاوزوا الحد، إذ أن الغيب لا يعلمه إلا الله عز وجل. يعني فالغيب، قل لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله، والله عز وجل تفرد بالغيب، إلا من أطلعه الله عز وجل على الغيب، فلا بد من وحي. فمن ادعى شيئا من علم الغيب لا شك أنه من الطواغيت. قال ومن حكم بغير ما أنزل الله، حكم بغير ما أنزل الله، هذا سنشرحها بعد ذلك.
And the fourth one is the one who claims to have knowledge of the unseen. And he explained that knowledge of the unseen, knowledge of the ghaib, is something specifically for Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who claims to have knowledge of this unseen, of this unknown, then no doubt he has gone beyond the limits, and no doubt that he is from the tawagheet, such as the magicians and the kahana, the people who claim to know the future, and the likes of these people, what do they call it in English? Soothsayers and psychics and the likes of them. Jazakumullah khair. Naam. So these people, they claim to have knowledge of the ghaib, and this is something that only Allah Azza wa Jal can have. So they are, by that, tawagheet. And lastly, whoever rules by other than what Allah has revealed, he said, inshallah, we will explain this in some detail.
الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله يكون طاغوتا في ثلاثة أحوال. الحالة الأولى إذا اعتقد أن حكم غير الله أفضل من حكم الله عز وجل.
So he said ruling by other than what Allah has revealed has different situations in which a person will be طاغوت. The first of which is when a person believes that ruling by other than what Allah has revealed is better than the revelation of Allah.
الحالة الثانية إذا اعتقد أن حكم غير الله مساو لحكم الله عز وجل فهذا أيضا كفر وصاحبه من الطواغيت.
The second condition or the second situation or type is when a person rules or believes, sorry, when a person believes that ruling by other than what Allah has revealed is equal to the revelation of Allah. He said that this is also disbelief, and the one who does it is also a taghut.
الحالة الثالثة إذا ظن أو إذا عفوا الحالة الثالثة إذا قال أن الحكم أن حكم الله أفضل ولكن الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله يجوز ليس بحرام فهذا أيضا من الاعتقاد الكفري عند أهل العلم.
The third condition or the third type is when a person believes or he says that the ruling of what Allah has revealed, Allah's revelation, is better. But it is also permissible to rule by other than what Allah has revealed. So he makes this less, but he makes it permissible. He says this is also kufr. It's also disbelief, and the one who says this is also a taghut.
أما إذا كان الحاكم المسلم يحكم بغير ما أنزل الله معتقدا أن حكم الله أفضل وأنه مذنب مقصر فهذا لا يكفر عند أهل العلم خلافا للتكفيريين.
And he said, and as for the Muslim ruler who rules by other than what Allah has revealed, believing that the revelation of Allah is superior, it is better, and he knows that it is not allowed, he believes that he is at fault, that he is deficient by ruling by other than what Allah has revealed, He said that this one, he is Muslim, he has fallen into sin, but he is Muslim, as the ulama of Islam have explained.
نعم فهذه هذه أحكام أو حكم الحاكم إذا حكم بغير ما أنزل الله كما فصلها بذلك أهل العلم ومنهم الإمام عبد العزيز بن باز والإمام ابن عثيمين رحمة الله عليهما وغيرهما من أهل العلم.
He said, so these are the conditions and the various types of ruling by other than what Allah has revealed, according to the people of knowledge, as they have commented on it, such as the Imam Ibn Baz and Ibn Uthaymeen. May Allah have mercy on them both.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والدليل قوله تعالى لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. هذا دليل على وجود الطواغيت وعلى الكفر بها، وأن يعني الكفر بها مع الإيمان بالله يحقق المرء التوحيد.
نعم. So then in regards to the ayah that there is no compulsion in religion, verily the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. So whoever takes disbelief, so whoever disbelieves in the taghut and believes in Allah, then he has taken hold of the firmest handhold. The Shaykh, he commented on this by saying that in it is proof of the existence of tawaghit and the obligation of disbelieving in these tawaghit. So whoever believes in Allah and he disbelieves in the taghut, then this is what is correct.
هنا أيضا بالنسبة لهذه الآية كان بالأمس سؤال من بعض الإخوة يقول هل يفهم من قوله تعالى لا إكراه في الدين حرية الأديان؟ نعم.
And he mentioned that yesterday there was a question about understanding this ayah. Is it understood from the statement no compulsion in religion that there is freedom in religion?
الجواب لا ليس أو الجواب لا لا تدل هذه الآية على حرية الأديان بدليل أو إنما معنى الآية إنما معنى الآية لا إكراه في الدين أي لا تدخل أنت الدين على الناس، أنت تدعوهم وتبين لهم من آمن وأسلم فلنفسه ومن كفر فعليها، بدليل أن بدليل قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو أن موسى بن عمران حيا ما وسعه إلا اتباعي. نعم.
نعم. And he said in regards to this that the meaning no compulsion in religion, it does not mean that there is freedom of religion. Rather, what it means is that you are not able to force someone to believe. Rather, you are only able to call them to Islam, but you are not able to force them into belief. And he said, in regards to this, that that from the adilla, from the evidences of this, is the hadith in which the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that if Musa alayhi salam was alive, he would not be allowed except to follow me.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وهذا هو معنى لا إله إلا الله. قوله وهذا أي قوله فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله، هذا هو معنى لا إله كفر بالطاغوت، إلا الله ويؤمن بالله. نعم.
نعم. And then the author says this is what is meant by the statement La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So the Shaykh, he commented on this by saying he is referring back to the statement of Allah, whoever disbelieves in the taghut and believes in Allah. He said this is an explanation of none has the right to be worshipped except Allah.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وفي الحديث أي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد في سبيل الله والله أعلم.
Now and then the author, he concludes by saying, and in the hadith, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he stated, the head of the matter is Islam, and its main pillar is the prayer, the salah, and its highest part is striving in the path of Allah, a jihad in the cause of Allah, and Allah knows best.
يعني الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى بهذا الحديث أن رأس الأمر الإسلام أي الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة والخلوص من الشرك وأهله. فهذا في الحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول رأس الأمر الأساس فيه الإسلام. ما هو الإسلام؟ ما سبق، الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة والخلوص من الشرك وأهله.
Now, so then the Shaykh, he commented on this by saying that the head of the matter is Islam. The head of the matter, meaning the most important thing, is Islam. What is Islam? Islam is, as we have explained previously and as the author mentioned previously, that Islam is submitting to Allah in obedience, in tawheed, in tawheed and in obedience to Him, and being free from shirk and its people.
ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وعموده الصلاة. عموده الصلاة يعني لا يقوم الإسلام إلا بالصلاة، ولذلك الصلاة مهمة، صلوات الخمس مهمة وهي ركن من أركان الإسلام، وعلى كل مسلم ومسلمة أن يحافظوا عليها، والتقصير فيها والخلل فيها يدخل المرء في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يحاسب المرء من عمله الصلاة، فإن صلحت صلح سائر عمله وإن فسدت فسد سائر عمله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Now, and then the Shaykh, he commented on the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, its main pillar is the prayer, the salah. So he mentioned again that Islam has its pillars, and from these pillars, the main pillar is the pillar of salah. And he mentioned about the importance of salah by citing a hadith in which the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that the first thing a person will be asked about or held accountable for is his salah. So if it is good, then the rest of his actions will be good. And if it is bad or invalid, then the rest of the actions will be such, or as the Messenger ﷺ stated.
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وذروة سنامه الجهاد في سبيل الله. ذروة سنامه يعني أعلى مكان أو المكان العالي فيه الجهاد في سبيل الله، والمعنى أن الجهاد في سبيل الله له مكانة، لأنه يقوي المسلمين ويحميهم بإذن الله، ويمنعهم من الكافرين، وينشر الإسلام إلى آخره. ولكن الجهاد الذي أثنى عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الجهاد الشرعي الذي فيه الشروط والأركان والواجبات المطلوبة في الجهاد. وإلا فليس كل من ادعى أنه يجاهد في سبيل الله دعواه مقبولة. فالجهاد في سوريا أو الجهاد في العراق أو الجهاد في بعض الأماكن مع جماعات التكفير وجماعات تنظيم القاعدة وجماعات تنظيم الشريعة، ما اسمه هذا، داعش ونحو هؤلاء كأنصار الشريعة في ليبيا أو السلفية الجهادية في الجزائر أو غير ذلك، كل هؤلاء حكم العلماء بأنهم ليسوا مجاهدين في سبيل الله، إنما هم مجاهدون في سبيل الشيطان. فعلينا أن لا نغتر برفع شعار الجهاد في سبيل الله حتى ننظر هل هذا الجهاد على السنة وعلى الحق أم أنه خلاف ذلك.
نعم. And then the Shaykh, he commented on the last part of this hadith and its highest part, meaning the highest part of Islam, is jihad, or fighting and striving in the sake of Allah. So he said that this means that this action, it has a high status in Islam. But this action, what is intended here, is the correct legislated Islamic jihad, striving for the sake of Allah, not what people claim to be jihad. So jihad, it has its conditions, it has its wajibat, its obligations, it has its pillars that must be fulfilled, its sunan, and so on. And this is the correct legislated jihad. As for what other people call, such as he mentioned a number of groups, from the Takfiris and the Khawarij, such as ISIS, Daesh, or Al-Qaeda, or Ansar al-Sharia in Libya, or other than Libya, or other than them, from the various groups that claim to be upon jihad, or claim to be fighting for the sake of Allah, he said, then we should not be deceived by these people, because they are not in reality fighting for the sake of Allah, and this is not the correct legislated striving for the sake of Allah. As the ulama have commented on these groups and these people, so we should not be deceived by them.
ومن أفضل الكتب في هذا كتاب الشيخ النجمي رحمه الله تعالى الإرشاد إلى أحكام الجهاد. وأيضا هناك فتاوى للشيخ ابن باز، فتاوى لابن عثيمين، فتاوى للفوزان، فتاوى للألباني رحمة الله عليه، رحمة الله على من مات منهم وحفظ الله الأحياء. فتاوى في هذا الباب مهمة، لابد للمسلم أن يقرأها، لأننا كما سبق معنا لابد أن نتعلم أحكام ديننا. وبهذا نكون قد انتهينا من هذه الأصول الثلاثة، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين.
نعم. And then the Sheikh finished by saying that from the best books in this affair, in this topic about striving for the path of Allah, is a book by Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi called Al-Irshad. And he said also there are many fatawa from the likes of Sheikh Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Fawzan. May Allah have mercy on those who have passed away and protect those who are still alive from them, and other than them from the known Salafi scholars. He said it is very important for us to look at their fatawa and to read their works and to read their books and their comments, especially the fatawa on these issues. And he said that with this, we have concluded these three principles of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and Allah knows best. May Allah send peace and blessings on his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and his family.